What's up, everybody? This is another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. Thanks so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate it. That in the background, that is my song. It's a song called For What It's Worth, which is what I named this podcast after. I just want to throw this out there. I know we have a lot of new listeners. If this is your first time listening, or maybe this is the second or third episode, you're just getting into the podcast, I would love for you to check out my music. It's Wes Hoffman and Friends. It's just Wes Hoffman on Spotify and Apple Music and all that. But if you look it up, you can check out our music. We have an album out. We have a new album coming out soon on Spam Records. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I have seen a little uptick in listeners to the podcast. So if you'd be willing to check out my music in the meantime, I really appreciate it. So thanks so much. This episode is with Nat and Becky from the Iron Roses. My band got a chance to play with them last year when they were on tour with the Mad Caddies. They rolled through St. Louis. It was a wonderful show, wonderful tour. Very grateful for the opportunity. And I got to meet Becky. I didn't get to meet Nat at that show, but I'm glad that we got to talk on this episode. So we cover a lot of ground here. This was a very in-depth episode, and I really couldn't believe how quickly the time went by. When it got to the 10-minute mark, I was like, oh my God, I have so many more questions for them. So I highly recommend checking out their music. Check out the Iron Roses. Follow them on Instagram. Follow Becky Fontaine on Instagram. Follow Nat Gray on Instagram. I'll put all of their Instagram handles in the liner notes here. So I really want to say thank you to Becky and Nat for taking the time to speak with me. I had so much fun talking to you guys. I think I say it on the podcast, but I really felt like I was just talking to some old friends and we were just shooting the shit there for a while. So thank you guys so much. Best of luck on your tour in Europe coming up. And everybody enjoy this episode with Becky and Nat from the Iron Roses. I've got Becky and Nat from the Iron Roses. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys so much for doing this. I'm super stoked because, like, at the time, I guess it's been about a year that you guys came through St. Louis with Mad Caddies, yeah. Which was an awesome show. And I wasn't doing the podcast. I was taking a break at the time. Otherwise, I would have had you guys on. So, but we're doing it now. So, thank you guys so much. So I'm going to go ahead and jump in because I have a lot of questions. I'm interested in knowing. So, you guys are the Iron Roses, but for a while before that, it was Nat Gray and the Iron Roses. At what point did you decide to switch it up to just Iron Roses, and what was kind of the thought behind that?
I think that for a while that was the direction we were trying to head when we added like the Iron Roses to my name as the solo thing. It was an attempt to start heading in that direction. And I remember, like, I was like, we've got to fucking change this name. It sounds like fucking blues. I can't
say it. Oh shoot, hold on.
Just something like it, just like it always sounds like a boomer blues band to me.
Right.
So, it was, but I think when we really decided to make it happen was in the recordings of Rebel Songs. And Becky was there doing backups, and Phil at the time, who was in the band for a little while, was there doing some stuff. And we just started talking about how we start transitioning this into a real band,
yeah,
instead of a backup band for whatever nonsense I was doing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that name change, I mean, for me, because so I found out when you were releasing the most recent album, I found out, I remember seeing Nat Gray and the Iron Roses, and then I saw an ad on Instagram for the Iron Roses. I was like, oh my God, these guys are awesome. Like, I have to check this out. So have you seen like more growth since that's the name's been changed?
I mean, yes, but I don't, I mean, I think the name change is just like an extra, like it doesn't, that's not what gave us the growth. Like, I think the name change, like really, you know, aside from wanting to move away from it being like the Nat show, it allowed some autonomy for the rest of us. Like right at the none of us wanted to be, I used to tease Nat all the time. Like, I don't want to be an and. but like,
I don't want to be a Nathan, so that's great.
Like we're writing more as a group, as a collective, as a band, and so like all of these things were happening at the same time, and it made sense to drop the Nat, and so like we started seeing growth, not so much because we changed the name, but because that was the point where we made the decision to like stop being the backing band really, and like brought in everybody's strengths and allowed everybody space to write and participate and be part of the brand, and like it all just kind of happened at the same time. And so that's where the growth happened, is when it became not like a knock against Nat solo stuff in any way, but
it was
we started to see growth because we allowed space for that by opening up to like six individual personalities and strengths and musical abilities.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, I love that. I think that's a great way to put it. And I love you guys' chemistry on stage too. And I think that just kind of, you know, having it be the name, the Iron Roses, I think that just really encapsulates something. And I like, I was just thinking about the name too. And I like how it's something that's beautiful, but also like hard at the same time and strong. Which I think really encapsulates you guys as, I mean, I don't know you super well, but it's what encapsulates you guys as people to me as well. So, you guys both have, and you don't hear this very often. Your voices blend really well together and you have such great like harmonies and melodies. At what point did you discover, hey, we have this really special thing with our voices? And, cause I was listening to the record. I've listened to your record a lot, but I was listening to it. I was listening to it again, just as a refresher recently. And you know, even when you're doing like in the verses and the lead vocals and stuff like that, there's a lot of harmony there. So at what point did you guys discover, hey, we have something special with your voices and really incorporating that as like a core piece of the music?
Well, I mean, it all started when I began my solo journey with Feral Hymns, and excuse me.
Oh, you okay?
My all three solo albums, Becky did backups on, and it just started to make sense that not only did our voices work well together, but it also just going into this band project and thinking, how can we do something that's a bit different, that's not standard for what you see all the time? You know, normally if you have two front people, it's like the one sings, the one screams, or the one does it, you know. Probably the closest that you'd get to what we do is like Alkaline Trio. But even then, like Matt and Dan, still there's times where it's like one of them more out in the front, you know. And what we really try to do is make it more of a constant duet, to where it doesn't really matter that I'm doing the melody, she's doing the harmony or whatever. We try to keep it at a level to where it's like, and we work on those harmonies and melodies a lot to make sure that they both sort of work as their own melody, you know what I mean, to it. So it's a lot of work, and it's something that we're moving forward in writing now, even past the last album, and how do we make both of what we do stand out at the same time?
Yeah.
You know?
Which means Nat has sometimes had to learn how to be the harmony instead of, you know.
Which I don't.
Yeah. It's been, for somebody with 3 decades of being a front person, that's been such like a fun thing for me to push her to try to do, like, trying to get her
to do this harmony. I was like, I can. When I do harmonies, they're always folk harmonies. They're always the same harmony. Like, it's always the same fucking thing. It's always Simon and Garfunkel. That's all I know.
Yeah, I love Simon and Garfunkel.
I did too, but she's had to push me to, like, rethink, which has also helped me rethink a lot of my melodies and stuff like that as well. And the same with, like, you know, pushing her to jump in and do some of the melodies. And, like, I'll send her a melody, and she'll just instinctively start singing the harmony over. It's like, no. You sing this part. You don't sing over it. Like, or around it. No, that's your part. I'll do the harmony. Like, it's just, yeah. So,
yeah.
It's a learning curve for both of us.
That's awesome. So, tell me a little bit about, there's something I'd like to talk about on this podcast a lot is, like, the songwriting process, too. And I think that, you know, for in my band, it's I'm the primary songwriter, and I kind of write and arrange everything and then bring it to my guys, and they add their little touch to it as well. I don't want to say little, that sounds bad, but you know, like they add their that what?
So did you hear that? I'm gonna make sure you're
called your parts yeah. Little.
I'm gonna edit that out. So. no, you know, they add their fingerprint to it and their flair as well. But I would think, you know, what's your process like, especially with two vocalists like this? Do you guys work together or does one of you kind of bring together a song? And, you know, I'd just love to hear how you guys, come together with your songs.
So I am in a lot of ways the head of songwriting. I wouldn't say the main songwriter as much as the one that coordinates and puts it all together, you know?
Sure.
Like, everybody sort of sends their stuff, and I'll say whether it's good or, and they do this for me too, like, I'll send some, it's like, that's pretty mid, I don't know. Like, you know, like, we're very good with that. It's like, you know, or they'll send me, it's like, yeah, it's fine, but it's not great.
Yeah. It'll make me feel something.
Yeah. So we test each other a lot, mm-hmm. and we'll write, like, 50 songs and come out of it with like 10.
Yeah. You know?
And for the most part, I'm just constantly writing all the time. Like, and it's not all good. You know?
Yeah.
So I have a computer full and a phone full of songs that are no one will ever hear, you know. But it'll usually start with, well, it doesn't usually start with anything.
Thank
like
you.
So well, it'll be like, I'll write something. And then I'll pass it to Becky, and then we'll pass that to Pedro. And Pedro is sort of he's the one that makes everything sound good.
Yeah.
You know, like, we do a lot of the beginning songwriting.
The backbone of it, I guess.
Yeah, and then we'll send it to Pedro, then he'll make all the guitars sound like guitar, not sloppy and weird, and just like, you know what I mean, right?
Sure,
you know?
Sure, yeah.
And he'll do that, and then he'll send it back to us, and then we'll re-put our vocals on it or redo the vocals, put all little touches on it, the bass and real drums will go on it. And it's hard to say because it's such a constant all over the place thing. But
Matt and I sit at this table. I mean, we're in my dining room right now, and we'll sit at this table and work together a lot, like as an idea starts to come, or my vocal abilities are there. Like, I hear music in my head, but I don't play an instrument. So it's like hard for me sometimes to translate, but Nat's very good. Like, if I hum it out, you know, she can build it out on the guitar, and then, you know, or likewise, like if she's, you know, building something on guitar and she starts to hear a melody, I instantly start hearing things that go with it. And so from like the vocal perspective, we're very good at that. And there's been moments where we've worked each other into a panic attack when we're not able to kind of translate it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or times when we do, and it's just like, oh my God, now we do this. Okay, play that thing. Yeah.
Because, you know, we're the only two that live in the same area. So everybody else is, we can't just like get together and write in person. Like, we have to be very it's very hard. So,
and then there's also times like Colin will send songs into a Dropbox and we'll take pieces of those when I'm writing. Like, so it's so hard to explain because I am like the main like putting together of songs, but I'm not the only one writing the songs. You know, it's just sort of like, oh, here's a piece of Colin's thing. Mm-hmm. This will go, oh, what would you sing over this? Yeah. And like she'll start singing over something Colin did or something Pedro did. And then it'll get put together into something. Then that then gets sent to Pedro to do the finishing touches on it. It's so all over the place.
Yeah, that's really awesome. That's a different answer than I've gotten from anybody else so far.
I think like a lot of it's funny because everybody has their part to play in it, because like if you were to ask who like the foundational writers were, it would be me, Becky, Pedro, and Colin putting things into the pot. But that doesn't mean that Michael and Devin don't write.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Like,
we send them stuff, and the shit that they put on top of it is like, what was that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, that's not even remotely what I would have thought, but it's amazing. Yeah. Like, you know, and that's part of writing is like putting your own touch onto it. Like when those the bass and drums come in, it's like, I mean, you hear it even on not the last album, but when we play live, and the next, you know, songs that we end up putting out, whenever that happens, you're going to really hear how important the bass and drums are to what we do.
Yeah.
You know, like Pedro and me and Becky and Colin are sort of holding down the fort and doing really cool shit. But the bass and drums is like, they don't sound like they should work.
Yeah.
But they do, and it's so dancey and fun and busy, and like it adds so much life.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I talk a lot with the guys in my band where like the drums can really make or break a song. Like it can make something that sounds so simple sound so full and so big. And I feel the same way when our drummer, you know, because most of the time I'm writing stuff, and when I bring it to him, we have these sessions where I'll just play guitar and I'll send him something, but it's just like GarageBand drums, you know,
yeah,
like,
that's what I do. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll be like, okay, well, what I was thinking here is, yeah, exactly. I was thinking instead of what the GarageBand drummer is doing, I'm thinking like a more syncopated thing. And then he'll come up with something and he'll listen to it over a few days. And then I'll come back to practice and I'll be like, oh my man, this is way better than anything that this GarageBand drummer could have done.
When we first started playing with Devin, we were just like, okay, well, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, besides just how insanely flamboyant and like, he's like a lead singer of drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to explain what he does. Like, it's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. I got to meet him in St. Louis. He's an awesome guy. So tell me a little bit about, I feel like you guys have really, built, and I've only seen you guys the one time that we've played, but I follow you on Instagram and I'm following what you both of you individually and but the band as well, but it seems like you guys have really built a community around your music. Like I think because of both of you, your vulnerability personally about your own personal journeys and what you're going through, but just as a band to the music brings people together. And I just love to hear a little bit about, like, was that something that you was intentional, that you thought, hey, we really want to build a community around this, or did it just kind of happen through your own personal vulnerability and your music?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, obviously people are drawn towards people that they see themselves or their experiences reflected in. And so that's part of it. Like you said, like, we are both very vulnerable and open. Like, we're not pretending to be cool. But I think for me, personally, like, I wanted to create a space where people could show up and not think that they had to be cool to show up.
Yeah.
It's like, I know there's always been times where, you know, I'm 46 now, there's been shows that I haven't gone to in my life because I didn't feel cool enough to be there, like I belonged there, or like I knew one of the bands, but I didn't know all of them, and I didn't know all that band's songs, and I just don't want anybody to ever come into a space that we're creating for them and feel like they don't belong there in any way. Like, I want people to show up as messy as they need to be. And I don't want it to be a cool kids club, because I'm not a cool kid. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want that for us or our fans. And I think that's one of the cool things about having six completely different individuals in our band, is like, there's somebody for everyone, kind of. Like, I feel like a lot of people can look up and see, like, I see me in this person, or I see me in this person, and I think that's cool.
I've always wanted something like this that's more of, like, a community-based band. Like I have never in my life, like, what band picks, like, if you're given the opportunity to be a Nickelback or a Grateful Dead, who doesn't pick a Grateful Dead?
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even matter the music. It matters the vibe of what, like, the Grateful Dead, like, they just did their shit.
Yeah.
They didn't matter. They created a tribe, a community, that's the dream.
Yeah.
Like, not being a rock star and, like, doing that shit, that's the dream. Creating a community that follows you everywhere and, like, is part of this, like, being, you know? Like, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Like, or that's what we want. Yeah. You know? Not this really far removed rock star bullshit.
Yeah.
So I've always sort of hoped for something like that. And I think that that's what we're all trying to create with this band.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're doing a great job. And going back to what you said, Becky, you know, punk rock for me was always a place. Like, I grew up in a really small town and I didn't feel like I fit in. I wasn't a football player. I wasn't a jock, you know what I mean? I was a theater kid. I was a music kid, you know, and there weren't very many of us around in, like, a really small town. And I, you know, I felt like I'm going to get out of this town. I'm going to, you know, and I grew up like an hour away from St. Louis, and I live in the city now. But I went to my first punk show, and it was an MXPX show at the Pageant here in St. Louis. And the Pageant had just opened. And so I was like, oh my God, there's like 2,000 people here that are just like me. This is so awesome. Like, you know what I mean? And here I am as an outsider in this other town that I live in, but it's like you find your people, you know what I mean? And I think you guys have really done a great job of creating that, for sure.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about, Becky, you posted something the other day, and I followed this account called Book More Women. And I thought that was a really cool thing. And there was another account that I was following a while ago called Straight to the Front or something like that. And it was about getting women photographers and letting them get to the front. And, you know, I would just be interested to hear you talk a little bit more about some of the things that you were saying about booking more, getting more representation for women and people in the LGBTQ community, like on stages and on fests and things like that, because I feel like that's also been a very big part of punk rock for me, was that it's this inclusive thing, but it's also a very male dominated thing, and I think that that needs to change. So one, two, three, go.
I mean, where do you start with that? So just to reference, for anybody who did not see that post, I had said that, you know, when festivals are announcing their lineups, I'm paying attention to the disparity there. I'm paying attention to how many femme bands or queer bands are on that bill, and I'm paying attention to where they are on that bill. And Book More Women, their Instagram account takes a lot of these larger festivals and quantifies it in percentages.
Yeah.
So you can, you'll see the flyer on slide one, and then on slide two, you'll see the flyer minus all the dude bands. And so for me, it's just I don't know if I was joking with Matt the other day. I don't know if I don't think I'm getting more. I forget the word that I use for it, but I'm a lot more outspoken than I used to be. And I don't think it's because I'm feeling differently now. It's just my give a fuck is gone, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody is shushing me, I guess. So I think, you know, if I'm in this space and place of life, that I should be vocal about those things, especially when they frustrate me. Like, I love having an opportunity to play a festival that is, you know, all femme bands, but I don't want that. That's not what I want. I love having that experience because I'm never going to get that anywhere else, but that I want what we have now to be better balanced. And it's hard because I know that there are so many incredible fucking, you know, femme fronted, queer fronted bands right now that are just not getting opportunity. And it sucks, especially when I look at, you know, how many cishet like fronted bands, or even cishet bands, you know, all the way through the band, are even just reuniting just because, like, you know, the legacy acts that are taking up space right now. Yes, like, it's, they've had their moment, and like, for whatever reason, they want to come back to
it. Get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah. And so now it's like, we're like, people who are fighting for space are even having to fight more now because the legacy acts are coming back and, you know, taking up spots too. And while I don't discount those people have had, you know, to work hard as well, I just wish that it wasn't me and people like me or people like Matt that had to say that or to get you to look at it, because I can scream about it till I'm blue in the face, but nobody's going to give a shit and change it just because I'm, you know, I'm bitching about it. Like, I need cishet men to be like vocal about it too, or saying, like, if they get an offer for a festival, recommend some fucking bands that aren't your bros. You know what I mean? Like, just, it takes so little to like turn around and reach your hand out.
Stop
and help.
Taking out the same fucking bands.
There are so many recycled tours that I see. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to name names, but oh, you know, they're on the road again with the same three bands
same
again.
Same bros.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. And I also, again, because I know that not everybody that listens to this will have seen these posts because there were stories of mine, but I did also say, I recognize that my band comes with privilege itself. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, we are femme and queer fronted. You know, Nat is a trans woman, but Nat also built a very long, very established career presenting as, maybe not.
Well, I did my best.
A cis man.
I grew up weird.
Yeah. So, you know, we have the ability to get some opportunities, or at least earn some opportunities from the foundation that she's laid down. And I don't ever want to discount that at all, which I guess is another reason that I feel like I have to be extra vocal. It's like, that's me reaching out and kind of helping others. Like, hey, this sucks.
I'm glad you did, because I looked at that account and I was like, and I looked at some of the fests and I was like, man, that is really not a lot of like representation. And I did a small fest here in St. Louis and earlier, a few months ago. It was just a local band fest, and I really tried to make it a point to give as much representation to, like, you know, femme fronted bands or queer bands with queer members, you know, like, to get to just make it a little bit more balanced, because there's so many dudes out there and in bands, and it's like, it does get a little old. It's like, I want something a little bit different, you know what I mean? To touch on something else that you were talking about, like, why do you think so many bands, some of these like older bands are, because it does feel like there's been a wave of, like, I'm 42, so, like, you know, all these bands that were big like in the early 2000s, now a lot of them are like coming back, or they went on hiatus and now they're doing like a, you know, 30-year reunion tour or 35-year or whatever. What do you think it is about punk rock, or just like this genre of music that are making people, that why is it having like another wave, and why are more people wanting to come back?
That's making the money symbol.
People, you know, it makes money. People like comfort. They like comfortable shows of bands that they know and love and have loved for so long that broke up and they didn't want them to break up. And so the dudes in those bands are like, hey, we can make a bunch of money and sort of relive the glory days, Dad's Gone Wild, and fucking, that's it. That's all there is to it. Like, otherwise, if it wasn't that, they'd be starting new bands. Right?
Yeah.
But again, even in that instance, when those people are creating new bands, there's also a bit of ease in not stopping.
Yeah. Well, and we've had that where obviously we wouldn't have had the stepping off point we had if it weren't for me, you know?
Sure.
So even in that, there's, like she said that before, we have some privilege in that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a ton, but it's something. Now, there's plenty of bands that
we still have to fucking
do
work
not
for
get
it.
The opportunity. Sure. Yeah, we still have to work, but we were given opportunities to work hard at that other bands haven't even been given to work hard at, you know?
Sure, so. Sure. Yeah, and I think that's another, you kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit. Like, I think a lot of, we just had a thing here in St. Louis called Almost Warped Tour, where it was like a bunch of bands doing like Fall Out Boy and Blink-182 and like tribute sets, you know what I mean? And I didn't go, but because I had just gotten home from a tour and I was really tired and I didn't want to do anything all weekend. But, but and I'm not trying to knock those musicians by any means, but you know, a ton of people come out. It looked like it was really well attended. And it's weird to me that I'm old enough now that, like, you know, when I was younger, like Guns N' Roses tribute bands were like, those were the tribute bands and like Bon Jovi and stuff. And now Blink-182 has tribute bands. It's just a really weird thing. But it's frustrating to me that, you know, I'm out here trying to make original music. And it's hard to get people out to the shows, but it's like, but people will go see what's familiar to them because they're like, oh, well, I want to go sing All the Small Things, you know, like with my friends because that's what's familiar to me. And I'm trying to find a way to change that. I'm screaming for a change. I'm trying to find a way to change that culture here in St. Louis where I'm from to kind of like, get more people to come out to like see original bands, and because obviously people like seeing music, it's like they might just not.
It's gonna take some creative workings because it's very difficult to shake people out of that stupor.
Yeah.
The comfort in, like, I'm sure there's some psychological thing to it. Like, mm-hmm. It's a time where they weren't having to stress so much about grown up things. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's like easy. There's like going back and like letting go.
Yeah.
So maybe we layer those cover band
and
original band.
I'm like, just invite us out. They do a thing here called like, Can You Feel the Punk Tonight, where they do all these Disney songs, but it's like punk rock. And I mean, it sells out. And I'm like, can we just like open that show? That would be awesome. You know, like. I've Zoom has reminded me that I have 10 minutes left with you guys. This has went by super fast. Cause I've really just enjoyed, I feel like I'm talking to like friends. So, tell me what do you guys have coming up next? I know you guys, you're hitting the road a little bit, right? Is it Europe?
Yeah, we're back.
Yes.
We're on our second Euro tour.
Mm-hmm. July and August.
Yeah. Which is,
it's like festivals and headlining shows. And then
a tour that we can't.
That's
talk
all
about
we're allowed
yet.
To tell you.
But
there's a lot of stuff coming up.
But I alluded to somewhere near you later this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Other stuff that we can't.
Yeah. There's really so much we can't tell you.
Yeah.
Well, when you can tell me, I'll be checking the Instagrams whenever it's announced and everything.
Keep your eye on the socials.
I will.
And I mean, it's all going to come out soon, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Very excited for the future. It's actually been sort of hard sitting through June. You know, just like, come on, July.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Just waiting for things to happen and be able to talk about stuff. So,
have you guys done Spam Fest before?
No. So we were supposed to play it last year, and we got offered the Motion City soundtrack support slot tour in the U.S., and we didn't have a tour built around Spam Fest, so we were like, okay.
It makes more sense.
We got, who says no to Motion City?
Yeah.
Did that instead, so.
Yeah.
How was it? Awesome?
Yeah,
it was great. It was awesome. I feel like it was like, people were receptive, but it wasn't really our crowd. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
sure.
It was like, you know, it was people that were going to see a band that's been around forever
yeah.
that, you know, they have a strong, like, connection to for good reason. It's a great band, you know what I mean? But, like, it just maybe wasn't the place where people were looking for new bands to be annoying them. Like,
right.
Hey, can you get on with this so we can watch the thing we came here for?
Yeah.
But in that, there's always a couple of people that come to us afterwards that are just like, what the hell was that?
Yeah,
that was incredible. Like crying and just like, you know, and those are our people. That's
yeah.
who we want. You know, as we were saying earlier.
Yeah.
About the community, you want the people who have that visceral reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want people that are like, yeah, that's pretty
good.
Cool.
Fuck
off. Yeah. It was just something else.
You don't have to be cool.
Yeah.
You can have
we want the people who are like fucking like on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we had a very similar experience. I mean, we opened one of our first like bands that we opened for, that's like a national, you call them a legacy act. They're Fear.
Yeah.
So we opened for them. It's been like 3 years ago now, but and we're more of a melodic, like pop punk band. and people were like halfway through our set, like people were just yelling like the leaving, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Like they were yelling that like in between our set. And some, like, we have this like song where it kind of breaks down and I strum some chords and I sing kind of emo. And some dude goes, scream those fucking words, man. Like, he was like, so they, but we did afterwards. We had a few people, like, just like you said, it, like came to our merch table and were like, you guys were so good. It just like wasn't our crowd. You know what I mean? I mean, super thankful to like to play the show. It just like it wasn't the right crowd.
Those were dead Kennedys.
I was just
because,
thinking
yeah.
that when he said that. I was like,
we were too posse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember EJ Ray was like.
He told us we should have a teddy bear at the merch table.
Yeah, yeah,
oh.
yeah.
Someone I remember his teddy
yeah.
bear.
Oh, I would totally buy one.
He was being like kind either. I think he was
oh.
like, he's like, you guys are too positive. I hate it. Like, you know, type of thing.
Hi,
that's funny.
Yeah, it was.
We'll
hilarious.
Fuck off now.
Yeah, we'll fuck off now. That's fine.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Any? I've seen you guys have been doing a little. This will be my last question. I've seen you guys have been doing some writing and demoing. Any like new record news coming soon, or is that in the works? Or
I mean, we gotta write songs to put out in the world, right?
Yeah.
If you want, yeah.
We have been writing.
We have been writing.
Is there any like an upcoming record on the way or anything, or can't talk about it yet, or?
Usually goes towards records.
Yeah. I'm really bad at holding my tongue on things, so
we're writing. And it's going great.
That's why I'm just staring at you.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll look for more news soon. Thank you guys so much. This was awesome. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I admire you both, and I love your music. So thanks so much, and hit me up next time you guys come through St. Louis. I'd love to just, you know, I'll definitely come to the show, but you know, I'd love to talk to you guys for a little bit in person. So
that'd be great.
We can do that probably this year.
Okay. Awesome. Well, have a great night, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.